Welcome to this broadcast of Truth for Today. This is sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church and in Sun City West, Arizona, and I'm your host, Kai Repsholt. I thought that since this broadcast will probably be released very close to Christmas Day, that I would do a Bible study on what the scriptures tell us about the birth of Jesus, because what the scriptures tell us is not what we traditionally know. So if you'll join with me in prayer, we'll begin the Bible study. Lord, thank you for sending your Son as we enjoy our celebration of that time during this season. We ask that you help us focus on the purpose of the gift and that we would take full advantage of the eternal life that you offer. Amen. So, let's start with the visit of Gabriel to Mary. This is found in Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of situation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth, who has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So, some things to that are not traditionally discussed to be pointed out here. It says in the sixth month at the beginning, sixth month of what? Well, it's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And Elizabeth is going to give birth to John the Baptist. And the angel Gabriel, by the way, Gabriel is, in the original language, means man of God, comes to talk to Mary, who is a virgin, not a young woman. She's a virgin. She has not had sexual relations with a man. And she is engaged to a man whose name is Joseph. And they are in Nazareth. And the angel says, "Hey, you're going to give birth to the Messiah." And she says, "Yeah, but I've never had sexual relations with a man." And the angel says, "Yes, I understand that. The Holy Spirit is going to perform a miracle. You will become pregnant without having sexual relations with men, because nothing is impossible with God." And what is Mary's response to this? She says, "I am the bond slave of the Lord." That's in Hebrew society, that was a very specific term coming from the law. And a bond slave was a slave who had done their first 7 years of what is basically indentured servitude, but did not want to leave their master because they loved their master and voluntarily submitted to slavery for their entire life. That's what she says of herself. I am the bondslave of the Lord. She voluntarily submits and dedicates her entire life to service to God. Okay, well, I'm going to try to do this in a somewhat of a chronological way. So we have the announcement, and she becomes pregnant. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 1, the story continues chronologically. And Matthew only covers certain things, just like Luke only covers certain things, but we can piece them together. So now the birth of Jesus, verse 18 in chapter 1 of Matthew, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph woke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, with Mary pregnant, Joseph is in a predicament. In the normal course of events, in the way the world views such things, and let me tell you, the people of Nazareth are part of the world and they would view these things this way. There are two options. If a woman is pregnant before she is formally married. Now, the betrothal is the time where the contract is signed, and legally they are married, even though their marriage has not been consummated yet. And that's the legal status of the relationship between Joseph and Mary. And yet she is pregnant, and he knows that he's not the father. So that means he knows that the only way that, from the way the world views things, that can happen is if she has been unfaithful to him and committed what would be called adultery. And the law is very specific about this. Both the man and the woman who committed adultery were to be stoned to death. But he did not want to humiliate her and have her executed. So he was going to quietly, before the town found out, send her away, but he was not going to finish the marriage. There would be a divorce. So his predicament was a combination of, do I do what its justice requires, or do I have mercy? Well, while he's thinking about this, how he's going to do this, he has a dream, and the angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream and tells him basically the same thing he told Mary. And when Joseph wakes up, he obeys God. He takes Mary as his wife. Now, wait a minute. It becomes known before the marriage can be completed that she's pregnant. So now the people of Nazareth will come to one of two conclusions. She either was unfaithful to Joseph, or they couldn't wait. The one would result in death. The other results in ridicule and scorn by the townspeople, who will think less of Joseph. His reputation will be hurt that he and Mary could not wait. And as a result, she was pregnant. So when he goes through with the marriage, he is telling all the people in the town that she was not unfaithful, otherwise he would have divorced her, and that it was because he and Mary couldn't wait until after they were finished the marriage ceremony. So he would be, for the rest of his life, have a damaged reputation, and he would look somewhat down upon by the members of his community. Yet he was willing to endure that in order to obey God. Okay, so they have to go to Bethlehem when Mary is about ready to deliver. In order to obey the law, Caesar has said everybody has to go to their hometowns because Joseph was a descendant of David. He had to go to Bethlehem, so he and his wife went to Bethlehem. And you know that story, but I'm going to give you some different things to think about in this story. So we'll start with Luke chapter 2. Verse 8, and this is after they have arrived. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Okay, so the shepherds are out in the field at night. This is Luke's way of documenting the time of year that Jesus was born. He doesn't specifically call either a Roman month or a Hebrew month in the text, but he lets us know because there was this very specific time period of about 3 to 4 weeks where the shepherds are out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And that's not the normal thing that shepherds in the land of Israel did in ancient times. Normally, for most of the year, as evening was coming, the shepherd would come down with their various flocks. Each shepherd had a flock, and they had a communal sheepfold, which is a circular stone-walled enclosure that's usually big enough to for all the sheep in the region to be put into. Now, it didn't have a roof, and it had a door opening to get for the sheep to go in and out, but it didn't have a physical door. And the shepherds would come down late in the afternoon after the sheep had been grazing all day, and they would get their sheep to go into the sheepfold. And depending on, if as the region got more prosperous and more sheep were enlarging the flocks, they would end up building or modifying the sheepfold so that it could contain all the sheep. But when the sheepfold, by the end of the afternoon, and all the shepherds had brought their flocks in, the sheepfold was pretty full. It was pretty much standing room only. And one of the shepherds would lay down and sleep in this doorway opening that would prevent the sheep from wandering out and would prevent predators from wandering in. And they did that most of the year. But there was a period of 3 to 4 weeks when they didn't do that. And that was the period of time when the lambs were being born. Because if they did it while the lambs are being born, and some lambs are born at night, then they would get trampled by the other sheep in the sheepfold, because it was, you know, it's close quarters. So during that 3 to 4 weeks, the shepherds stayed out in the fields at night, keeping watch over their flocks, protecting them from predators that are in outside in the hills, so that the ewes could drop the lambs, and the lambs would not get trampled. And that 3 to 4 week period began in late February of our reckoning and ended in mid-March. So, Jesus was born when the lambs were being born. Sometime in late February or early March. Now, it's significant that Jesus, who was the Lamb of God, he was the reality for the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb, which was offered at Passover, celebrating God passing over his people when he destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. Jesus is the reality for that symbol. He is the Lamb of God. That's what is later told of him, told about him by John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was appropriate for him to be born at the same time that natural lambs were being born. So, we don't celebrate the birth of Jesus in the time frame in the year that he was born. And that's okay. If I have time in this broadcast, I will tell you how we got late December as the time we celebrated. Okay, so angels tell the shepherds, shepherds go find the baby, worship him. They leave their sheep. The whole purpose, you know, the sheep are unprotected while they do this. So they must have been taking this very seriously to go and see the Christ child. And they rejoiced as they were returning. Now, we're going to continue in the Gospel of Luke, starting with 21, to get some more chronology, because this is we're trying to do this chronologically. And when the 8 days had passed, before circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, this piece of information not only tells us that they fulfilled the law required, the purification is the purification from the blood that is involved in giving birth, and after that, they also have to redeem the firstborn. That's the law. Now, the key here is the use of the turtle doves or pigeons. There were 2 ways you could redeem the firstborn. The standard way would be to offer a lamb in place, unless you were very poor. If you couldn't afford a lamb, then you could offer 2 birds, either the turtle doves or the pigeons. So one of the things we learn from this is that at this point, 30 days after the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph were poor. Okay, that becomes significant in our understanding of other events that are going to happen associated with this story. Okay, so now we'll jump to Matthew chapter 2. In that chapter is the story or the account of the visit of the Magi. Okay, starting with verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired from them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I may come too and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So, Magi are combination religious priest scholars in the area of Persia. But it's in the region of Persia, or where Babylon used to be. And they're not kings. So one of my favorite hymns, "We Three Kings," they aren't kings. Truth is, they were magi, which were priest scholars. And when it introduces the story here in chapter 2, it doesn't say how many of the magi came. Okay, so we don't know. Luke doesn't tell us how many there were. Okay. Now, the interesting thing here about the star. Now, I have heard astronomers try to describe the star Bethlehem as an astronomical phenomenon called a conjunction, where planets appear to be close together in the sky. And hey, on the winter night of the winter solstice, we had once in every 100-year event where Jupiter and Saturn appeared to be one on top of the other and were a brighter star than any other star in the sky. Well, that doesn't account for what happens in this part of the story. Okay. It says here that the star precedes them to Bethlehem and stands over the location of Jesus. Well, this is not a conjunction of planets. This is something supernatural. And the next thing we discover is they enter a house. Some time has obviously passed. Certainly after the 30-day point, because before the visit of the Magi, right after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph were very poor. And they didn't have a house. Now they're in a house. Joseph was probably practicing his trade as a carpenter. So they're living in a house. It's not precise at how long they had been there, but we get an indication of the window of how long they'd been there. They had to have been there after the 30-day period when they made the offering, and when Herod slays all the children in Bethlehem, he bases it on what the Magi told him about when they first saw the star, which was 2 years. So, if the star appeared when Jesus was born, it's been 2 years. It certainly has been longer than the 30-day period, because they are presenting gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And this is God's provision for the family, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, to live in Egypt while Herod is trying to find the baby and kill him. So, in summary, we learn from what the scriptures say that Jesus was born in late February, early March. We've learned that Joseph, Mary, and Jesus may have stayed in Bethlehem for up to 2 years. And we know that the Magi present their gifts sometime after the night of the birth, over 30 days, because the offering that they made at the 30-day point was the poor person's offering. And after the gifts were given, the family is no longer poor. So I want you to enjoy all your Christmas traditions. Sing songs. I love singing We Three Kings of Orient Are. It's a great Christmas hymn. It ties the birth of Jesus to the crucifixion, which is the whole reason that Jesus was born in the first place. So yes, enjoy all of your Christmas traditions. While you're doing that, remember the truth that we have learned from the scriptures about the birth of Jesus. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas.